Lord, we thank you for the beauty of communion. We thank you for the beauty of being able to fellowship with you. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you that we can gather together to worship you. Lord, thank you for worship, for the singing of song, giving of our gifts and tithes and offerings, from our fellowship together. Lord, all that we do that worships you, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We just put our eyes upon you, and Lord, we just ask you for your grace and your strength. We ask you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, would you just come and fill us up now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I've already been told by two people that we need to be done early because the Chiefs are playing at 12 o'clock, right? So there are some priorities here. So I want to share a message about life, love, and eternity. Probably sounds like a strange title, and it's actually a really big subject that we're going to do very, very shortly today. And it's one of the things that the Lord's just been really stirring on my heart. So I hope that the Lord really speaks to you from this message. As you know, I'm associate pastor of discipleship, and the life groups and Sunday schools are under my area. And so I want to use that to be able to talk about those things today. But I don't want to talk about them as programs. I don't want to talk about them as just things that we do in the church. I want to talk about what really matters. Is that okay? So since it's football, and it's the football season, and I think you might have to relaunch it again, David. It's not clicking for me. Since it's football season and it's football time, I want to see if you remember this guy. Anybody who's watched football over the years, do you remember this guy? He was famous in the end of the 70s and end of the 80s. He would put up the sign, John 3:16. And I always thought, you know, Christians knew exactly what that was. And I always wondered, does the non-believer out there have any idea what that sign means? Is this a guy looking for his friend John sitting in row 3, seat number 16, right? Or is it a Bible verse? And sometimes we don't even know. This guy's name actually is Rockin' Rollin' Stewart. Yes, he's a real person. He became famous because of his sign of John 3:16 and Jesus saves. He was on newscasts all over the country. As a matter of fact, he was even satired in the comic The Simpsons. He became so well known. So a lot of people knew about this guy and about John 3:16 because of him, and a lot of times they don't even know what it means. Perhaps the most famous verse in all of the Bible, one that you almost don't even need to open your Bible to because so many people can quote it, but how many of us actually really thought about the verse? So that's what we're going to do this morning. Because Rockin' Rollin' Stewart put it up as a sign, but you know what? He's also famous because he went off the deep end. He ended up taking a maid hostage in a hotel right outside the LA airport, threatened to shoot down airplanes, and he is now serving 3 life sentences in a row. So Rockin' Rollin' Stewart, the guy with the rainbow man, as he was called, with the rainbow hair and the sign, is now locked away. But he wanted the message to be known about John 3:16. That's how important it was. Whether you liked him or not, thought anything of him, didn't even notice him. As a matter of fact, I even read some history that they told cameramen at the end to pan away from him because he was trying to get so much national attention. But hopefully the Word of God gets the attention. And hopefully the Word of God gets the attention this morning. So John 3:16, one of the most famous verses ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. I'm going to stop there because most of the time we stop there. Even if we quote the rest of it, we don't know what it means. My point is this, the last part of it says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this is preached a lot of times, whether it's Billy Graham or somebody else famous, to talk about salvation. And it's a wonderful message for salvation. The Lord came, exactly what we celebrated here today, to die for our sin, for our salvation. Jesus on the cross. God the Father gave his only Son. Such a simple message. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We always think of just the eternal life as heaven. We're not going to perish now, but we're going to have everlasting, or some translations say eternal life. Here's the thing. Everybody is going to have eternal life. No, I'm not a universalist. Don't worry. I don't believe everyone's going to be saved. But everyone's going to have an eternal life. It's just whether we spend it in heaven or we spend it in hell. We're all, everybody on this planet is going to have an everlasting eternal life. It's just, where do we spend it? You see, I think Jesus had a point with this verse, and I think it's something we miss. And I actually think it's actually applicable to today, to our life, to in our life groups. Because everlasting life is not just about eternity in the future. It's about now. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Later on in John 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you would know the Father. This is eternal life. You see, eternal life isn't just the future. That promise of John 3:16, that well-known verse, isn't only about future, it's for now. But a lot of us Christians, you know, we get saved, we come to church, and that's kind of it. We don't really get involved, we don't necessarily get involved in church, and if we do, maybe it's just in a program or something to do or check-off list, trying to be good, trying to make sure we're okay before God. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to in evangelism that believe they're going to go to heaven because they're good, because they go to church. I'm sure you've heard the example many times. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, no more than walking into McDonald's makes you a hamburger. But a lot of people believe that just by being good enough, going to church, going to a Sunday school, going to a life group. But actually, there's so much more, and that's the point of the message for today. Jesus said, I came that you might have eternal life, and it begins now. It's here. It's among us. It isn't just a promise for the future. So what is eternal life? Jesus said himself, it's that we would know. That word know, gnosko, means, in the Greek, it means to intimately know, to know with experience. It isn't just head knowledge. It isn't just getting in the door, passing the Sunday school quiz, having all the right answers. It's experiencing Christ in the here and now. It's experiencing Christ in the midst of my brokenness. It's experiencing God as he is and what he wants to do. You see, knowing him and eternal life is about spending time with him. Knowing who he is, knowing him in his word. Pastor's been preaching about healthy church. I'm kind of tagging along on that. So I'm not necessarily going to try to redo everything that he's been sharing the last several weeks. But he's been talking about a healthy church, taking us through how we need to know the word, how a healthy church is involved in outreach, et cetera, et cetera. I'm tagging along with that, and I want to challenge us that to be a healthy church is to know the Lord in one another. That might be a new concept for some of us, perhaps. Knowing the Lord in one another. You see, if we're called to this eternal life, as John 3:16 talks about, and it begins now, that begins in looking in the face of one another. But Eric, we have so much imperfection. But Eric, I have so much sin in my life. But Eric, and the list could go on. So do I. You see, it's seeing past our brokenness. It's seen into the eyes of people we get to know and relate to, and we see who they are, and we see Jesus in them. To me, one of the greatest privileges about church, and now I'm going to talk about life groups and Sunday schools, is we get to be and do life together, and we get to see Jesus in one another. We get to experience in that eternal life that begins now through one another, through the sharing, through the giving, through the brokenness, through the joy, through the pain, through all those different things. When we struggle, when we don't get it right, when it's hard. Athel and I have had disagreements before. I'll confess, I've even told Athel once in my anger, I told him, bite me. Yes, I did. He brings it up every once in a while. I did. I'm human too. I got really mad at him. I said, bite me. We get mad. We get irritated at each other. I know none of you have ever gotten irritated at Athel. And yet it's working through those difficulties. It's working through those relationships. It's actually doing life together that we start to experience eternal life. I don't have time to go into this today. This would be a whole sermon series on its own, but it's fascinating. Do you realize if you fast forward into the book of Revelation, and I know I'm barely touching the subject of this, but we are called the bride of Christ. Do you realize we're going to have a marriage supper together with Jesus? That exactly what we celebrated here today, Jesus said he wasn't going to do again until he does it with us in heaven. And we call it, Revelation calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you know that later on in Revelation 21, there's a description of the new Jerusalem after God's created the new heavens and the earth? And way too much to go into today. But there's a description of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And if you read the dimensions of it, it's mind-boggling. Its dimensions would be broader than the entire United States. The walls are as thick as this room right here. It goes up some 200, if I remember right, 200,000 something stories high. The great city of God, as it's called. And it's also called the bride of Christ. It's insane when you read some of the descriptions. Why am I talking about it? Because we think eternal life means playing a harp, floating on a cloud, and then what? Right? That's oftentimes the picture of heaven. Passing through the pearly gate, St. Peter's there, right? You know the drill. We're supposed to have the right magic answer, you know, and then we get in. We get into what? Hardly anybody talks about that. You see, I think it starts here among us now. It's why we need to do life together, because it's actually that seeing Jesus in one another that sharpens us. It's that living life together that we experience who God is, because your roughness and my brokenness and when we rub together and when we clash and when I say nasty things to Pastor, it sharpens me and it lets me know, wow, this is an area, God, I need you to work in my life. Wow, God, this is an area that I need greater grace, greater glory. See, we're talking about doing life together. We're talking about our life groups. Our life groups are groups that meet outside of the church normally, not on a Sunday. They meet in people's homes. It's where we do life, fellowshipping together, having a meal, having some snacks, enjoying one another's fellowship, studying something, studying the Word. I love that we're a church for the Word. We're not trying to solve environmental issues or politic, whatever this or latest trends. We're studying the Word of God. We're fellowshipping with one another. In Sunday school, we're gathering together to study God's Word, to hear from each other, to hear from the Lord, to hear and understand what He has for us. You see, I think that's what He's called us to do, the doing life together. So what's that look like? Well, just a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, I had a training for the small group leaders. That includes life group leaders and Sunday school leaders. Those are our small groups in church. We had a great time gathering around, teaching, doing values. We were taking some of the values we've been talking about as a church, doing some training, going, let's not just do groups. Let's not just do check-off lists and curriculum and we attended this or we did that. What is doing life together? What does it matter? And how does it count? That's where we're going in the sermon. But let's look at doing life together. We have all sorts of life groups together. We have groups that are ongoing. Debbie and Ethel have a life group that's going on in their home. Kathy Carnes. Kathy, stand up here a moment. Stand up for a moment. A lot of people don't know who you are. Kathy wants to start one in her home. She lives right here in the neighborhood. We have others here that want, some of them I can't see today. We have others that want to start life groups in their homes. We've got Sunday schools that are ongoing here. We've got groups that are happening where we get to do life. We get to rub some of those extra edges off of us when we disagree. We get to debate. We get to share our heart. We get to pour out our lives and care one for another. Powerful times. Marlene has a life group on Wednesday nights. Great times that they're having together. Wonderful fellowships in our different Sunday school classes. Times where we gather and we say, this God, we're listening to you. Whether you're in Ken Jones's class or one of the many others that meet on Sunday mornings. God, what are you doing in us? What are you doing in our hearts? What do you want to do? Because if we're doing life together, what does that really look like? What does that really mean? If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, and I put it up here today. But if you got your Bible, since I figured you all knew John 3:16, I want to just take a moment on this verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Notice that, live through him. Exactly right. In this is love, not that we love, but God, not that we love, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a replacement for our sin, is basically what that means. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. See, right there we have the ingredients. And if you notice, the word love is in there many, many times. And we started with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see, here's my point. If it's not about love, if it's not based in love, if it doesn't have the root in love, if we're not loving one another, even if we make mistakes, even if we rub the wrong edges, even if we disagree, even if we have a bad day, if we're not reorienting our hearts and saying, God, I want to love you. I want to see you, Jesus, in the life of the other people. I want to know you. I want to know you and experience. How do we know him in experience, as we talked about earlier? We do it through the word, absolutely. But I think a key ingredient we often miss is we do it through one another. Because as iron sharpens iron, I hear Dan's voice. I hear Elrinda's heart. I hear Ann Jackson sharing. I hear many of you, and I hear your different hearts, and I hear your different stories, and my heart gets realigned. My heart gets tuned into the greater things that God wants to do. You see, if it's about love and we're loving one another, we are connecting with the heart of God, and therefore we get to know God, because it's out of that basis of love. If we're just doing the duty, we might be getting knowledge out of it, but I can guarantee you we're not knowing God. We're just going through the motion. Jesus was asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandments of the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. What was Jesus' point? man comes up to him and says, "Teacher, here's a whole plethora of the Old Testament, what we would call the Old Testament, all the different laws and all the do's and don'ts, and it's exhausting. Which ones do we do? I can't do them all." Jesus basically says, "Let's sum it up. I got two of them for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." You see, that's how he boils down. That's how he summarizes. That's how he funnels into what's the point. What's the point of this Christian life? What's the point of this thing we call eternal life that starts now, that goes on into the future? What's the point? Love. Learning love, experiencing love, experiencing the love of God through one another. Even with the rough and ugly, right? Even with the extra grace required person. We're experiencing the love of God. In doing so, we fulfill the law. Because in the end, I think that's what it's going to boil down to. In the end, it's really all about, did we love? I love this quote of Mother Teresa. "Whenever I meet someone in need, it's really Jesus in the most distressing disguise." Wow. Think about that next time you're out shopping. The cashier behind the register at Price Chopper. The homeless people that gather down there at 71 and Redbridge. Think about that about your neighbor who you haven't even got a chance maybe even to meet. Think about that the next time someone asks you for something and you're, "I don't really feel like it right now." Whenever I meet someone in need, it's really Jesus in the most distressing disguise. You see, I think that changes our perspective. Instead of just seeing this annoying person in my small group, or "I don't want to go to that life group because that person's in it," or "Oh, Sunday school's so boring because that person always does all the talking," or all the thousand different reasons we can come up with. What if we change that perspective and go, "Lord, let me go and let me be a part and let me see with your eyes. Jesus, give me your eyes that I can see these people. Help me to see you through the eyes of love. Amen. To see Jesus as you see. To know you, Lord, as I want to be known." One of the most favorite and famous chapters of love, 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to watch a video I really love. It's just a beautiful little message. It says it all right here. Take a look.
Man, he's giving you a lot of those notes.
Yeah, I think it's cute.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boast.
It's not much. but it's ours.
Welcome home.
Love isn't proud.
I'm sorry. There's no heartbeat.
Love protects.
Have to go.
Have a nice quiet day at work, hon.
Love doesn't envy. Love isn't self-seeking.
What time are you coming home?
Love keeps no records of wrongs. Love always trusts and always hopes.
How's your love life? How's your love life? That's the question for us, isn't it? Beautiful video. So describes it so well. That's our challenge. How, not only is how a love life, but how are we living that out? 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses. I memorized this years and years ago. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never in vain when it's done unto the Lord. Why does all this matter? Why do we even talk about it? Is it just to get people into groups? Well, sure, but it's about love. It's so that it matters. As it talks about when we do it for the Lord, our labor is never in vain. It isn't because we're doing it in the name of the Lord. It isn't because we're doing it in service for the Lord. It's because we're doing it for love. It counts because it counts. I truly believe that when we go to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And there's two judgments, and this is a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day, but the unbelievers will go before the judgment seat of God, God the Father, the great white throne, as it's called. And a lot of believers think they're going before that one, but they're not, because that's judgment unto condemnation. And Romans 8 says, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. But we will appear before Jesus, what's called the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema seat is the Greek word. And bema, although it's translated in English as judgment, actually means rewards. You see, the Bible talks about when we go to heaven, we will see Jesus, and you and I will be rewarded according to what we've done. Here's my whole point. I think it boils down to these two things. It boils down to two things in the end. What did you do with my son Jesus? If you go to the next slide, David, for me. What did you do with my son Jesus, and did you love? You see, the Bible talks about people will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out many people, demons, in your name? Didn't I do this and that in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you with experience because you never knew me with experience. You see, I think when we stand before the Lord, he's going to say, what did you do with the time and talents and the things I gave you? Because we have a lot of parables about that, right? Whole nother sermon again, parable of the talents. But I think it's all going to be on the motivation of love. Because I think we could win thousands to Christ and we could fill this stadium and we could be in this Sunday school class and I can be in this program and I can take care of this responsibility in church and fill this committee role, and the list goes on and on. And the Lord will go, okay, that's nice. Did you do it because you love me or because you loved one another? Because if we didn't do it out of love, it doesn't count. We're not rewarded for it, because it goes back to the very scripture I read where Jesus boils down the whole law and the prophets into those two commandments. That's how important it is. It's not about the duties we do. It's not about the works we do. It's did we love? Back to 1 Corinthians 15:58. What we do for the Lord counts. Got a little illustration for you. It's not unique to me. Francis Chan and many others have done this, but here's a rope. It might be a little hard to see back there, but a little bit of it, about a foot of it right here, is colored in red. You maybe can't see it especially, but there's about 9-10 black marks on it, signifying the number of years we live in this life. This is your life, people, right here. This is my life, this is your life. And Lord willing, if we're like Ann Jackson over here, we get to be 94, you make it all the way, Ann, you're up to this last one right here. I know where you're going, so I know you're not worried, but you're at the last rope. I'm not quite there. I'm getting close to the 61. Some of you are down here in the 20s, whatever, or even less. This is all of our life. Cammy, can I have your help since you're sitting over here? Hold that for me. This is your life. And if you don't mind me being a little mobile, I want you to notice, even though this rope will eventually end, this is the rest of your eternity. You're going to be spending with Jesus, and guess what? With one another. With one another. Look how much longer this is going to be. I'm already over to the other wall. Do you get the illustration? This is eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. Good, that's good news. We don't have to go to hell when we know Jesus. But we would have everlasting life that goes on and on and on as we get to know Jesus more and more. We get to see the beauty of Jesus in one another in heaven. And we get to see it on and on. But you know what? It starts right here. In this thing we call our life. Because all of us right now sitting in this room are in this part of the rope. What we do for Christ counts when it's done for love. What we do in the name of love counts when we've done it unto him. When we have loved, thank you. When we have loved, when we have given ourselves to love, what we do matters. See, that's the point of it. Whether you're in a life group, Sunday school, just come to church, whatever, it counts if we've done it unto the Lord. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that what we do, Lord, can count if we do it out of heart of love for you Lord, help us to see you in one another. Lord, we need your help to see you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that this morning as you speak to our hearts about own areas of our love. Lord, I fall short many times, especially driving. Many times, Lord, where my anger gets the best of me, my irritation. Lord, help me to love like you do. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today and show us how to love, that we might experience the everlasting life you've called us to today, now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to just close with a song for you. It's called For the One. Go to that next one, David. It's not going to play.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one in whom you loved and gave your son for humanity. Increase my love. Help me to love with open arms like you do. Love that erases all the lines and sees the truth, so that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, how he loves us, from the homeless and the famous and in between. He formed us and gave us carefully, 'cause in the end we're all his children. So help me to love with open arms like you do. Love that embraces all of life and sees the truth, so that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Let all my life tell of who you are, the wonder of your never-ending love.
And that's the end of the song. Cut off somehow. So Lord, thank you that you love us, God. And I thank you for your everlasting love. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to love like you do, God. Lord, I pray, fill us with your heart and your understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.